Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Thursday night podcast extravaganza. You're all very welcome. Thanks for coming along here. Just bringing Jed into the studio, and good to see you. City Trolls, actually, I think arguably that's the earliest you've ever been, Paddy. So
I made it on time for once. It's a miracles do happen, you know, once in a while. It does.
Yeah, normally you're the one I'm sort of getting impatient. Where is he? But tonight you've absolutely led the field. So welcome, Paddy, as well. Just saying a warm welcome to others joining. I see our good friend Charlie Sansom there, Reese Tez, Leslie, of course. Leslie, great to see you. Gar Ram, you were pretty quick off the mark as well. So thanks for being here tonight. We've got so much to get through. We're going to talk about net zero conservative seats. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about our vaccines, or any vaccines, any use for us or not. I'm going to know about Scotland. I hope our good pal Grantonio phones in from the former Sturgeonite Republic. I want to talk about Scotland in the light of the hate crime laws and all of that. I want to talk about transgender invisibility. yeah, I want to do that. I want to talk about softer sentences for low IQ criminals, which the sentencing board thinks is a good idea. That's a cracker, isn't it? Hi, Joel, by the way. Good to see you there. And as always, I think we are pushing this out across other platforms as well as Podbean. So I think we are going to be, Jed, I think we're on, are we on the Twitters and the Getters? I think we probably are.
Sorry, David. Yes, we are. Twitter, Getter, and Rumble.
Yep. Okay. Thanks, Jed. So that's good. So who else have we got? Have we got our Grantonio? If Grantonio is here, I want to know, why is he not in prison? Oh, hi, Max. I see you there. John, Adrian's coming into the studio as well. Yeah. Now, listen, here, before we get started, there's a couple of things. Just, you know, I always do my housekeeping at the start. Oh, Grantonio is there. Well, I mean, Grantonio, we got a lot to talk to you about, because I want to know, why are you not locked up? That's one of the first questions. Well, yours truly has had a sore throat for the last 24 hours. So I'm on a diet of Strepsils here to try and keep the pain away of talking, basically. So I'm going to need you lot to talk more than me tonight, right? So, Grantonio, you absolute sycophant. I love Ham Humza. No hate for me. He's a top guy, for sure, Grantonio. Top guy. So, yeah, I know what you're doing. Honey and lemon and ginger. Also, arguably, whiskey. But anyway, that's for later. So, anyway, thank you, Grantonio, for the congratulations. Since we were last gathered here together, gosh, I sound like a preacher, don't I? Since we were here a week ago, I became a grandfather for the third time, and I had my little baby Vance born, little granddaughter, who was born late in the evening of Good Friday, which, for those of you who have got Christian faith, it has kind of got special meaning for me. So yeah, I was really it's been having a new granddaughter and all of that, that's why there was a bit of a gap for me over the Easter period. I'm sure everyone will understand that. Yes, City Troll, there was no problem determining the gender. You see,
well, nowadays, Paddy, it's not, really, you know, the simple biological facts don't matter. I mean, you know.
Oh, they do. Yeah. They sure as hell do matter here, Paddy. And in the Vance household, they are absolute, as you know, as in your own. But so anyway, my little daughter granddaughter was born. And so that took up a bit of time. But so I've tried to get back into the stream of things, as you have seen. The podcasts are coming back out again. I hope you enjoyed the live interview we did with Laura Aboli on transhumanism and transgenderism and the whole evil cabal. So we have that one. Also, again, heads up. Again, this is the sort of the waffle I do at the beginning. I know it probably drives you mad. But anyway, tomorrow night, we don't normally do a live, but I am doing a live tomorrow night with a really interesting guy, Gregory Paul Martin. Now, any of you guys who remember the Beatles Hello, Chris Davies. I see you there, my friend. If you remember the Beatles, George Martin produced all their albums. So legend, Sir George, as he was in the latter part of his life. Anyway, Gregory is his son. And Gregory is a really interesting guy, a real Renaissance man, and a very sort of experienced astrologer. Now, we're going to get into that tomorrow night. And don't sniff at it. It's really interesting. Hi, Brian, by the way. Brian Bickerstaff, see you there. John Saunderson as well. And Nath. So I've got him coming tomorrow night. And then, Paddy, just for you, on Monday night coming, this is going to be a cracker. This is one you've all talked to me about. We're going to have a guy called Robert Gage coming on. And we're going to talk about world trading. Was it Building 7? We're going to talk about 9/11. We're going to talk about the planned demolition. Oh, yes, Break Paddy, out the tin I know you're going to love it.
Break out the tinfoil hats. Here it comes.
So Adrian, this the one on astrology, which I honestly tell you guys, it's going to be fantastic, this one. Should be going out right about 8, about maybe 8:15 tomorrow night, and then Monday night at normal time, Adrian, of 8 p.m. So this is just some of the stuff. It'll be going out going out on the Twitters or Getters or Rumbles for definite.
Yeah,
might be.
Yes, all of them, back. David. I'll be back in soon.
Yeah. Okay. So just to give you anyway a wee bit of a heads up, the Rumble, Adrian, definitely going out there, and these are topics that you guys wanted to talk about, and so we're talking about them. So now, that's enough of that. There, right? Shall we start at the top? I'll go with Scotland to start with, because on Monday of this week we had April Fool's Day, which was also the day in which the SNP, a bunch of crypto fascists in Scotland, brought in their hate crime act. As you probably know, this was... Chris Davies says, go and listen to me, Chris, with Joey Barton. We did a good pod on that. It lasts for an hour and a half. You get value for money with Joey Barton. So go and watch that one, Chris. It's, we cover so much stuff, and some of it is very spicy. So do tune into that. So anyway, the SNP brought in their hate crime, and instantly we had J.K. Rowling instantly challenged them, which was really good. Just standing up for womankind, standing out up for biological women, and challenging this the SNP to arrest her. Hashtag arrest her trended. So what I want to know from everyone here is, I mean, JK didn't get arrested. In fact, Police Scotland said they would not be pursuing her comments, which were all 100% accurate, by the way. My big concern is that they were never going to arrest her. She's too high profile. I'm afraid what they're going to do is they're going to go for a lower hanging fruit. They're going to not billionaire celebs, which would cause them so much grief in the courts. They're going to go for just ordinary people who say something a bit hurty. And you can tell that Humza Yousaf is already very, very prickly on this one. Very prickly about he said he didn't. He thought her tweets were did they cause him harm? I can't remember. But anyway, we've got this now in Scotland, and Chris Davies is right. Billionaires can afford the very best KCs. Chris, unlike ordinary folks, my concern is always not with the billion. I don't care about the billionaire class. None of us need to care about them. I care about ordinary people. So, you know, so if you say something a bit hurty towards, for example, biological men dressing up and pretending they're women against militant Islam, for example, in Scotland, you may well be in big trouble. So anyway, I want to get your views on this one. Ed, I'm not sure if you've come into the studio, Adrian, if you're there or not. Just let me know if you're there. I can't see you, as is always. He's in that. Anyway, this Scotland's been in the headlines. And the final point in this one, before I open it, wide open, I believe they're going to bring exactly the same legislation into Northern Ireland. They're going to bring it into England and Wales when Labour get in with their landslide at some point later this year. So we're free speech everywhere to challenge back is going to be under massive attack. But Scotland's the epicenter of this at the moment. Now, Grantonio, we know you are based in the former Sturgeonite kingdom. So if you want to come in and, yes, Chris, we need to pray for Grantonio. His days could be numbered.
I'm sorry. Sorry, you can't pray for him because that is offensive and that is biased. And you're not allowed to do that. So we can't pray for you, Grantonio. We can't pity you because pity is an emotion. An emotion can be taken the wrong way. So, Grantonio, you can shove it where the sun doesn't shine. Oh, no, you can't do that either, can we?
No, you can't do anything. No, no. All you can do is vote SNP, apparently. But anyway, we'll start with you, Jed, seeing as you came in on that one. So, hang on, Jed. He's here. Now, as if by magic, he's entered the stream and I can see him actually. So, Grantonio, can we just check that you're not currently under lock and key in Scotland and that you're enjoying this new era of enlightenment has been brought to you by Humza?
Why would I be under lock and key? I've got nothing but love and respect for Humza. And the SNP. I mean, one of the things I like about him is the fact that he's, I love about him is that he's not white. I mean, that's really good. And I just love this new legislation. I love the SNP and I hope and pray that they get prosecuted for some of the things that they've said about the Tories and the English as well, for that matter. So no, it's all one big happy family here in Scotland. So just love is all around.
Are we going to have a sing song? Love is all around. I can feel it in my fingers and in my
toes. I was just going to say the Coke advert. Go on, Grantonio, give us a song. Oh, he's gone. No,
Grantonio is gone. I think he's been arrested. You see, hang on a second. He's back. I think he's back. Grantonio,
was that Police Scotland at the door?
The way that you're talking about my beautiful country and Marty Pello and wet, and I just had to leave. Insulted by the whole thing.
Seriously though, Grantonio, we'll go around the panel now, okay? But Grantonio, I do want to start with you because it is very much in your home turf, so to speak. On a serious note, they didn't go for JK because I don't think they could have, but I do worry that, and I did see Grantonio, that someone that I follow on the Twatters did get a response. This lady I know on Twitter, she reported Humza Yousaf to Police Scotland for that white speech. And she got an answer back saying, well, it wasn't hate speech because all he was doing was stating facts, namely that the individuals were white. So you know, Grantonio, I fear that we're going to see this one roll out and they'll go for the low-hanging fruit first. What do you think?
I've unmuted myself. Okay, well, that's interesting. I suspect that the judiciary, the police force and everybody, they were strategizing over the weekend about what was going to happen. They knew there was going to be a tsunami of, well, hate, hurty words and all the rest of it. It's very interesting that J.K. Rowling called their bluff on that. I'm not actually a huge fan of J.K. Rowling. I support her. I stand with her on this issue. But it's very easy for a billionaire to make these comments. I hope she comes out with statements along the lines of she will help people with their legal fees, you know, working class people who want to state facts on social media or in the workplace. I'd have a lot more respect for if she started coming out with stuff like that. I mean, but this idea that Scotland's really bad, England's going to get worse. Wasn't there somebody who got done for putting stickers on lampposts not long ago? And again, they were just posting facts. This idea that England or Wales or Northern Ireland are going to get worse. No. I'm not sure if Scotland's worse than anything else.
Yeah, well, it's a fair enough point, actually. By the way, Grantonio, Chris Davies asks, does Grantonio know of any of them Scottish women with penises? ? I don't know. Grantonio, are you familiar with the particular Scottish women Chris is talking about?
I can't I can't come back with that. That's too good. Sorry, I can't. Do you know, Nicola Sturgeon is above average intelligence. Hamza is low IQ.
Yeah.
Do you know when Sturgeon got hoist by her own petard with that? We're about to get a Labour government. It's going to happen. Yep. I worry that these are people who also don't know what women are. I mean, Sir Keir Starmer can't answer the question. So I've said this before on the show. I just wish Sturgeon was not this penis thing.
You know, there's all this.
Well, that was weird. Weird feedback there.
The sensors leaked their mic. They forgot to block their mic.
It's the SNP. I think Antonio was having some connection problems there. But anyway, Jed, I'll come to you next if you're free in this one. You know, I see Grantonio's point. Like J.K. Rowling, she's a billionaire. She's got the best legal advice possible. But ordinary Scottish men and women will respond to the awfulness of the SNP, and they could go after them. You know, the law is now in place.
No, they could. But remember what she has said, i.e. J.K. She said, any woman... I think it was any woman, it might be anybody, who gets arrested for one of these new hate crimes, for a tweet, for example, she will repost or post the same tweet. Now, I've got a feeling that the first woman, and this is just me surmising, the first woman to be arrested under this new law for a hutty tweet, not only, I think, will J.K., do exactly the same words and tweet it, I think she might even pay the other person's legal bills.
Well, that'd be good if she does, as Grantonio. Yeah, that would, you know, I mean, that would be really meaningful. Although, to be fair, I thought she did well to challenge him and to say arrest me. But as I said, I never thought they were going to do that.
No, they weren't going to do that. You're right. It's too high profile. But in the end, yeah, if person A writes hurty words on Twitter and she writes exactly the same hurty words on Twitter and the first one gets arrested and she doesn't, then, you know, there is right through the judicial system to say, hang on, you're treating two different people with different, well, you're treating people differently based on, and the only factor can be that one is well-known and wealthy and the other one isn't.
Yeah.
And therefore, she could pay the other one's legal fees to make an appeal, saying, well, look, you've arrested me and you've charged me and you've fined me, whatever it might be. Yet she said exactly the same and you've done nothing to her. So clearly the law applies only to me because I'm poor, et cetera, et cetera.
It'd be interesting. I wanted to bring Adrian in. Adrian, if you're there, if you want to. Tell us how you've felt over the last several days with what's been the shenanigans in Scotland.
It's farcical, absolutely farcical. As for J.K. Rowling, look, she's a billionaire. Yeah, she can afford the best lawyers. But look at it from a different point of view. She is so high profile and she is standing there saying, this can't happen. This isn't real. You know, she is stating facts. She is helping to fight the case because all the other high profile people have went missing. Keir Starmer, all the politicians, they're all in on it. But there's nobody else out there with her profile standing up saying, this is wrong. That's the encouragement I'm taking from it. As for her covering legal fees, I think it will only be for those who are maybe posting facts that can be proven. If people are just going on and spouting hate speech and doing deliberate things to wind people up, I don't think she'll put her name anywhere near it.
What's hate speech?
But I think it. Well, you know.
No. Come on. Define what hate is. That's the problem with the law. You've just used that language.
But the thing is, let me finish. If she says factual, like you have chromosomes of this and this, that means your biological makeup cannot be changed. If somebody makes a comment like that, I think she would support them. But if somebody's going on saying, you're nothing but a field man who wants to try and be a woman so you can be important because you're trans, I think somebody would report her for that or report that kind of tweet. And the police would follow up on that because they would probably deem that as offensive. Personally, I don't. I would agree with that comment. But if somebody made that comment, I don't think she would really stand behind it. I think it would be more the cases that can be backed up by legal facts.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, Adrian, can I say I agree? And I also, sorry, guys. I just want to, I saw a comment, something, Chris Davies. Chris, you were reading my mind there a minute ago. Chris says, the Rangers-Celtic football match could prove interesting with the new hate speech laws. Well, indeed. Has any, I mean, I'm sure Grantonio may be aware of this. If you see some of the stuff at those kind of games that is spouted about by all sides, by the way, I'm not just blaming one side. It's kind of horrific. And Gar Ram also points out that Ali McCoist, who I'm sure a lot of you know, the former Scottish footballer, radio commentator and all of that. I like Ali. But he said he thought the laws were a lot of old nonsense and that he'd be going to the Rangers game this weekend along with 48,000 other people. And then he backed out of it. Then he said he's not going. So, Grantonio, did you see that? What did you think of Ali McCoist? He seemed to be doing a bit of a U-turn, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, just with regards to what we were saying about J.K. Rowling, and she's the only person that's standing up against this, as well as Ali McCoist, who, as you just say, has backed down, apparently. Why? Why just J.K. Rowling? Everybody I speak to, exactly. I reckon something like 99% of the people in the United Kingdom think this is nonsense. Where are all these lovies, slebby webbies who love to opine on Ukraine or other things? And when there's like a real issue happening here, men being in women's prisons and things like that, and children being given puberty blockers and all kinds of things.
Because they've been told to support it, Grantonio. That's why.
Say that again, Adrian.
If they've been told to support it, and they know if they don't support the agenda, their careers get destroyed. They're off the gravy train.
I'm a big fan of Father Ted, and I was really looking forward to that Father Ted musical. But I forget how to pronounce his surname. Linehan?
Graham Linehan, yeah.
Linehan, thank you. He said, I believe he said things in interviews like the cast and crew agree with him. But I was looking forward to it because I'm a big fan of the Divine Comedy as well. And I just think, where are these people who we look up to, you know, to stand up for these kind of things?
Okay. So, Paddy, I don't know if you wanted to come in on this one, but, hate crime. You've got your first amendment, haven't you?
Yeah, I most certainly do want to come in on this. And yeah, the Second Amendment helps us with a lot. It's a safety valve. But the whole thing is, and this is a philosophy that I was raised with my whole life. I may not agree with a damn thing you have to say, but I will fight to the death for your right to say it. You can't censor speech. You can't censor thought. Censorship is a friggin' outrage. Excuse my language.
But Paddy will make sure he's got his 700 million guns to back that up as well. Sorry, I had to get that.
I'm down to 3 guns, but I got enough ammo to equal that amount.
Hey, Paddy, can I ask you something?
Anything.
I'm convinced that if the Dems could have their own way, they'd probably make out that saying let's go Brandon is hate speech. But was there not something about a week or so ago about saying Christ is King was anti-Semitic? Did I get that right?
Yes, that did come up. That did, yeah.
But what was the context of that?
Because it offends. I forget who's there. Because the Jews don't recognize Christ as a savior. He was just another prophet. So saying Christ is king is referring to the fact that he is the son of God and this and that. And it's hate speech to Jews. It went nowhere. It was just one of those laughable balloons.
Yes, but you say it's laughable, and it is. But if they could legislate against saying things like that, they would.
Oh, they would in a second. They're trying to. Like, see, right now, there's just Matt Taibbi just came up with another real good article on the government censorship and what the Biden administration is doing since they took office, how they've, you know, basically subcontracted government censorship of free speech. And it's just like, this is a, I mean, if there wasn't all the other craziness, this would be the, if we weren't being overrun by illegals right now, the speech would be the primary issue in the United States right now, because what they've done since, you know, the COVID scam, well, you know, what they've done is so violated the very essence of America. It's like, you know, the people are so pissed off on both sides of the aisle.
Well, hang on, is COVID scam not now hate speech in Scotland? Because somebody would be offended
it
by
should
that.
Be. Yeah, probably get
maybe,
locked up.
Maybe
for that.
Those that
I figure half.
Yeah,
I
maybe
figure
those
half,
that took the fake vaccine.
I figure half our crew that's on this call every week should be getting knocks on their doors at some point.
Listen, we've been in this fight for a few years. I've said this before. If all of us aren't on some government watch list by now, I would be very disappointed.
Oh, so would I, Adrian. I would be extremely
Bill
surprised.
Clinton put me on one.
I think we're yeah. Yeah, I mean, but anyway, look, we'll watch what happens in Scotland. So anyway, want to move on. The other thing that happened, I wanted to talk to you all about this one. Easter Sunday. I know we've moved on a few days, but Easter Sunday, as well as being the most important day in the Christian calendar, which everyone I'm sure can understand why, also coincided this year with Transgender Day of Visibility. And we had, and Paddy, this is where your president comes in, but we also had Keir Starmer here in the UK pushing out celebratory messages for this Transgender Day of Visibility. Now, I don't think there's any more visible group under this planet than transgenders, point one. Point two, there's no such thing as transgenders in my view. They might think they are, but no one changes gender ever. But I thought it was kind of like really mocking Christianity. And Paddy, I'll start with you in this one. It came from your White House predominantly.
And the, you know, people don't realize that the majority, and I mean by majority, I mean like over 80% of the United States is Christian. And it's like they offended so many, the anger of this whole, you know, even though, like I said, this day has been this day for however many years they've been celebrating it, just happened to coincide. But the fact that they lit up New York and they lit up all these buildings and these transgender colors in honor on Easter offended so many. I don't mind trans. If you want to be transgender, God bless you. As long as you're not bothering anybody else and trying to shove it down anybody else's throat, God bless you. Be what you want to be. I don't care. But you know what? You know, you do this. They do this stuff for. They rub your faces in it. And this Easter, they pissed off over 80% of the country was like extremely pissed off over the fact that it was Easter and all they talked about was trans.
Yeah, well, I think that's the point. Jed, well, what did you make of the whole coincidence, the whole...
They weren't coincidental. It was not coincidental. So let's stop that for now. And let's just think, yeah, they're expecting people like us on this stream. They're expecting us to go along with somebody who can't decide whether they're a boy or a girl or a man or a woman, and then ask us or tell us we must comply with their delusion. Yeah. And I will not comply with their delusion, but it was deliberate. Did we notice how Sadiq Khan had all the lights up for Ramadan? Yeah, there were no Easter lights up, was there? No, because Christianity to the woke, to the left, to the Islamist, is evil incarnate, and it has to be got rid of, because that is the core foundation that this country, that America, that I see the vast majority of Europe was built on. And if they can tear down that core, then the whole world, the whole thing collapses, and then we are people of nowhere and everywhere, and we can be a 60 billion different genders. You name it, you can be it. I could be a whatever I want. I could have a new gender, empty bottle of beer, because that's what I've got currently on my desk, an empty bottle of beer. So there you go. That's my gender. And you must affirm that. Utter. No, I'll stop there. Okay, but the point is, no, and it was deliberate, and it was deliberate to rub it in the faces of Christians, because Christians will not and do not believe a man can be a woman, a woman can be a man, because Christians believe God made man and God made woman in his own image, and that is it. And man should be, man and woman are together. You know, I've got to this stage now. I watch a lot of Gogglebox. I'll finish with this, David, and I'll hand back. Watch a lot of Gogglebox when I'm trying to sleep and what have you, because it's just noise in the background to get over the tinnitus. But there's a couple on there, a couple of homosexuals. Am I allowed to say that anymore? And they talk about him being, and here is what you call its husband. No, it's not. I remember back in the day when the lesbian and gay community kept saying, oh, we just want to be recognised in law as a couple. So what did we do? We recognised them in law. For tax purposes, we recognised them in law as a couple. And then it was, oh, no, we want to have, we want to be a civil partnerships. Yeah, okay, you can have civil partnerships. Next time, it was, oh, we want marriage. No, they want marriage. No, they want to adopt children. No, they want, and you see where we're going? It's that creep. And we said it would be a creep when we agreed that they would be equal in law, so there could be a cohabiting couple in law. That creep started there, and it still hasn't finished. And it won't finish until the nuclear family is completely and utterly destroyed, and the core of our foundation, being a Christian, a Judeo-Christian foundation, is destroyed as well. And this was okay. Part of it.
Okay. Right, Adrian, do you want to come in? Adrian, to you.
Sorry, I was taking a response there. I was just saying that the family has already been destroyed yet over the last sort of 50, 60 years. Pardon me. But it's interesting that they chose March 31st, which happens to be Easter Sunday this year. It doesn't fall, I think, until 2086 again on March the 31st. So it was very, very convenient that this happened in an election year. And I think this could have been a red pill for a few people. To be brutally honest, I think a lot of people who have been looking at going, who is in that White House? Why are they promoting this stuff? What has happened to God? Where has that gone from our foundation? And I do think a lot of people will have woken up to that madness over the weekend.
I've seen, Paddy, you said, Paddy, it's called communism. I would dispute that. I think it's called Satanism. I think they know exactly what they're doing. They're an ungodly bunch.
Communism
in the
is
White
Satanism.
House. Well, yeah, but it's Satanism is well.
Isn't it
more
interesting that the Communist Manifesto was published on the 1st of April?
Another fool's errand.
Yeah, but see, I don't believe these things. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe all these things are by intent. You know. So I certainly feel anyway that that was a grotesque insult in the face of every Christian, and you know, there's still vestiges of Christianity around the West, and I think it annoys him. Grantonio, did you want to come in this one?
Yeah, it's something about the left and the way they do these things, just to wind conservatives up, just to wind Christians up, and you just think it's just really sad for them that they. I just think it's really sad for them that they do little things like that. Oh, we'll have a transgender awareness day because nobody knows that transgender people exist, and we'll do it on Easter. And this will make can you imagine the faces of these Christians? But don't you think that's like that with all leftist policies?
Yeah,
they start arguments just so they can finish them. That's what they do. So they'll flood the country with mass immigration, and knowing all the problems. And when you say that we really shouldn't have mass immigration, why? What's wrong with you? Is that because you're a racist? Is that because you're xenophobic? But you could just policies across the board. It's done to wind people up.
I Grantonio, I agree, actually. I totally agree with you. It is. they have this, they basically like to provoke. I think that, and then they sit back and they sort of sneer and they laugh. And it's what they, it's part of what they do. I think the motivations are darker, but I also think the winding up is absolutely part of it.
Sorry to interrupt, David. You say that the motivations are darker. With regards to what Jed was saying, I remember they said, oh, civil partnerships, that's all we want. And then, oh, gay marriage, that's all we want. And then, equal rights for transgender people, whatever that means. Well, what's the next thing that comes after that?
I can tell you the end goal.
Well, just do, Paddy, but just before you do, you know, we're beginning to hear calls for the legislation of for the legalization of paedophilia and things. That's becoming slightly more mainstream. So, see what we've opened this. Is it Pandora's box?
Oh, I think what we've opened is a glimpse into hell, is what I think. Paddy, do you want
to? Yeah, I just want to say, because the gay and transgender and that community, they won in the United States. They won everything they wanted. They got all the legal guardianships, all the legal status, and everything they won. And is the week they won, they immediately demanded that it be recognized by the church. This is a destruction. The end goal is a destruction of the church, because the church, and it's still under the church, will not perform a gay marriage, and they're trying to make it by law that they have to, and they want to destroy that's the end goal of that, is they want to destroy the primarily the Catholic, but the Christian church is because you know, the church will not recognize. I'm sorry, you want a civil union? You deserve, if you're gay and you have a partner you've been with 30, you deserve to go visit in the hospital. You deserve the equal rights in the courts. You deserve all this, because that's your partner. I don't care if I approve or disapprove. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not. You two are in love. God bless you. Your partner, God bless you. You deserve equality. I believe in equality for everyone. But you know what? Marriage in the church is a religious ceremony. It's not a ceremony of law. It's a ceremony of spirit and faith. And they see, and they cannot accept the fact that the church will not do that. The end goal is the destruction of the church. And then add that to they've already pushed, you know, the church has always been the background target. Now it's the primary target.
It's interesting that the people who are so anti-marriage and talk about all the horrible things that come from marriages are the ones that are so desperate for gay people to get.
Yeah. Yeah, it's replete with irony. You know, I see several people are saying, I see John Saunderson saying it, and others, that it's all about MAPs, minor attracted persons, is the normalization that I think they're going to go for next.
I can't say my feelings on that, because it would not be allowed.
All right. Let's just pick up on that that map. So if map ends up being the next thing that they legalize, does that then mean, for example, that Rolf Harris did nothing wrong and neither did Jimmy Savile and Cyril, whatever he was called, the MP, Cyril Smith? Does that mean they've done nothing wrong and Gary Glitter? Does that mean they've done nothing wrong and they should be released from prison?
Well, they're dead.
Because that's what we're saying. The point I'm trying to make is, if we end up with MAPs or MAP, then those sorts of people that are now sat in jails, and rightly so because they fiddle with kids, will then go, "Oh, hang on, it's now legal. Why am I being locked up for something that is now legal?" And that is the problem that we've got.
I think one of the background problems, as has been picked up by Gar Rama, is that back in the 80s, I think the late 70s, early 80s, there was an organization called PIE, P-I-E, and several MPs were backing that and supporting that. If I remember rightly, Harriet Harman was one of them.
Exchange Information, I think it was called PAI.
Yeah, that's right, Adrian, yeah. So, I mean, you know, so back then in the 80s, it was Paedophile Exchange Information, and now it's MAP. And it's problematical, this, because if you even use that word, believe you me, on social media, then you get problems. I would be, you know, reluctant sometimes to use it because they throttle you. They absolutely throttle your account. So I do think that could is probably the next frontier that they'll try to break through. Just as they've, I mean, they've tried to normalize the notion that, you know, castrating, chemical castration's a good thing. Of kids, you know, it helps them gender affirmation and all that. I mean, my feeling is gender affirmation is basically gender butchery, and the people who carry out gender affirmation, you know, the surgeons, I think they should be locked up, because it is child abuse to be going after these kids by mutilating their bodies, giving them, you know, puberty blockers, the surgery. It's all wrong. It is absolutely wrong. And I, on a way, you know, we've talked a lot here over the years on, you know, the vaccine stuff and all of that and how evil that is, and it is. But in a way, this surgery, you know, that they give kids so they can allegedly change gender, which they can't, it's just as bad. It's criminal. What do the rest of you think about
the
that?
The thing is, David, they go on about conversion therapy and we should ban conversion therapy. But what is gender affirming? Well, this is American terminology now. Gender affirming care. It is conversion therapy. You're converting a male into a female and vice versa. You're converting. So actually, the banning of conversion therapy should ban them transitioning, but it doesn't, because they've turned it around. Yeah, they've turned it right around. We should be, I said, we should be banning conversion therapy. And conversion therapy is saying to a male, you're a female, and a female, you're a male. That is converting them to something else. So that, I would say, it should be banned. Yeah, but that's not what they mean by conversion therapy. What they mean is stopping you from stopping them being converted. That's what they mean. Stopping them from being brainwashed and mutilated and having bits cut off. And if they're not having bits cut off, they're giving drugs which will make them sterile for the rest of their life. The drug that they give them to change sex is the same drug that we give to, or we used to give to paedophiles to chemically castrate them.
Yep. Anyone else want to come in on this one? Nope. Silence.
Yeah, I made the point there. The whole system is totally corrupted. They absolutely hate us. You know, the doctors and nurses are willing to go along with this. The politicians are going along with it. We have no famous people speaking out, as we mentioned earlier, bar J.K. Rowling. You know, Nazi doctors and nurses were hung for less at Nuremberg. It's up to us to stop this. That's the reality, because nobody in government, nobody else is coming to stop this madness. They're all on the bandwagon with it.
I agree, Adrian. Antonio, I think you were trying to get in there.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that as the country is becoming more Islamicized, sort of this transgender ideology is having such a huge hold on things. But then, what's the demographic that's responsible for female genital mutilation? So, it's just an interesting point there. These are like normalized, these strands of opinion, and as I say, it must be 99% of the UK think this is nonsense. So where's the representation for all?
The 99% are the ones I talk about every week, Grantonio, and they're the ones that come home, put the feet up on the coffee table, have the tea on the lap, and watch the 6 o'clock news and the 10 o'clock news, and then go to bed. That's the 99% of people you're talking about. They haven't got time in their day. They're busy trying to earn a crust to keep the roof over their head, keep the heating on, and keep the lights on, and feed their kids. That's what they're bothered about. And this has been turned into a weapon, and it's been a weapon. And this is why JK can do what she's doing, because money means nothing to her, but to the rest of us, to have your livelihood cut off and the risk of losing your home, your wife, your children, is too great. So they're quite happy to put the feet up on the coffee table, get the tea on the lap, flick on the news and go, this is bullshit. And then anyway, what's on at 7 o'clock? Oh, bullshit. Goggle what's box. On at 9 o'clock? But, yeah. You see what I mean? And they just go, oh, well, there's Strictly, that'll distract me for an hour or so. Oh, and there's, you know, X Factor, yeah, whatever it might be, whatever the latest craze.
J.K. Rowling should put her money where her mouth is. And I got somebody rang me as I was chatting to you. Does anybody know if she's actually pledged to help people with it?
No, I haven't, but I've got a feeling that if Sunday gets done and she tweets exactly the same and she doesn't, I've got a feeling that she will then go to the person that's been done and say, look, I'll pay some legal fees for an appeal because they're not doing me, but they're doing you, and they're only doing that because you can't fight and I can't fight. And I think that's what she'll do, particularly if it's a woman that gets arrested first.
Mm. Yeah. Adrian, you make an interesting point there. Do you just want to repeat that one to the audience?
I just said, do you not think it's symbolic that J.K. Rowling has taken this fight on? This is a woman who was struggling as a single mother before she wrote those books. You know, so obviously womanhood, being a mother, is something that's obviously very close and important to her, as it is to most mums. But I just think it's very symbolic that she's taking this on.
I think it's fascinating, Adrian, that the people who she has made, the actors and actresses from those awful Harry Potter movies, have all turned against her. She has changed their lives for good. She's turned all of them into multimillionaires, and they've all turned.
I know, Grantonio, but that is the movie industry, I'm afraid. It is gone, all left, all woke. If those kids, well, they're not kids, they're adults now, like, but if they want to work again, they have to follow the agenda. They have to follow the lines.
Oh, a bit like they all had to make sure they went with, what's he called? Not Epstein, the other one.
Weinstein.
That was done, the producer. Weinstein. That's why they all... Yeah, they were quite happy to go along with Weinstein and do his pervy things. Yeah, and his casting coach, so to speak, to generalise it as a general term, not saying that this is what he did because I don't want to be sued, but to generalise it, that's why they all went along. Why? Because they want the fame and fortune. And that is why all those actresses and actors that you're talking about, that she made international stars, global stars, are now turning their back on her because all they're thinking of is my next acting job. What's my next one? Yeah,
the
next gig.
I was going to say, very quickly, I said at the start of this that I was quite down on J.K. Rowling. This was only on the basis of other sort of stances that she's taken, like Ukraine and things like that. But I just as we're chatting, I kind of want to retract that. Do you know, I do have a lot of respect for her, actually. She is seemingly alone, or there's very few people like her. And I suppose the publishing industry could axe her if they wanted to. So yeah, I'm sort of backtracking on what I said earlier. I do have a lot.
Yeah,
but just remember on the right, when we talk about people who defend things like this, we are Puritans. So yes, she might be wrong on Ukraine. And well, if she's supporting Ukraine, then she's definitely wrong. But my point is, we can't just go, you are a Judas goat. I'm stealing your line here, David. You're a Judas goat because you're not 100% saying exactly what I want you to say. She's standing up on a particular issue. And she's standing up proud for that.
And she's
that's
lost
great.
A lot of friends for doing it.
Yeah, and hopefully she'll help to win the battle on that. She's losing the battle on the Ukraine front, just like Ukraine is losing the battle against Russia. But the point is, we've got to take the wins where we can get the wins, and we can't be.
Right, we're going to move on. That's enough. We're going to move on to this is a good one. You'll enjoy this one. I want to get your thoughts on this, everybody. So, as you know, the opinion polls keep showing that when the general election is called, which I reckon it's going to be the last quarter of this year, obviously. Anyway, when it's called, the Tories are going to get hammered, and the polls show them getting between 98. And 150 odd seats. At the moment, they've got 350, right? So just to put it in perspective. So they're going to get hammered. But I think it would be good if they got zero seats, net zero seats. And the reason I think that would be a good idea would be if they got zero seats, that would destroy the uni party. The blue bit would be gone. People would then see that there's no choice at the moment, so they'd have to create a new choice. Something new would fill the gap. And so I think it would be a good thing to see the Conservative Party, and I mean completely wiped out, all of them. The Suella Bravermans, the Kimmy Badenochs, all of them wiped out. Now, I know I'm extremist, but there you go. That's what I think, because maybe we could get a proper reset then. God knows, but maybe we might. So what do you guys think in that? Who wants to jump in first?
I hate this because I've just seen a comment there saying I'm not voting for Tories, I'm not voting for Labour, I'm not going to vote for Reform. So therefore, you're not going to vote. So therefore, you are not going to register your discontent with the uni party whatsoever, because your no vote is irrelevant, makes no difference. If there are four people that vote in this entire country, one votes Tory, two vote Labour and one votes Reform, Labour will get in. So your no vote does nothing to change the uni party. That is it. It does nothing. You've got to vote in a different way. If you don't like the red or the blue, you've got to vote for something, even though they won't get in. It is a message to the side that you want to send the message to. So, for example, vote for Reform, whether you like them or not, shows the Tories they are not anywhere near conservative enough. And yes, they'll get a kick in. Yes, I want them to lose all their seats. Yes, I want them to come back like a phoenix from the flames, okay? Phoenix Club. I want them to come back, but I want them to come back as a conservative party. And you not voting will not make that happen.
Okay, so I'm seeing some of your comments here, by the way. Gauram, he says neither are Reform Conservatives. Let's bring, I see Charlie Sansom, who some of you folks may know from GB News and other locations. Charlie, I think he's in the studio. He's a speaker now. Charlie, I want to see the Conservatives completely destroyed, wiped out. What do you think?
I agree with you completely. I think they deserve it. And the point about not voting, that was referencing what I wrote in the chat below. The reason why is because there is no one to vote for. Conservatives are not conservative. We all agree on that one. Labour will be 10 times worse. And the Reform Party, which I've coined as the Conform Party, as that seems to be the trend going around on Twitter lately, are not the option either, because they get rid of members from standing as candidates in the upcoming parliamentary elections for being right wing. Well, they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be the alternative to the Conservative Party, and they're not. I won't vote Lib Dem, I won't vote Green, I won't vote Tory, I won't vote Labour, and I won't vote for charlatans. So, the alternative is lending my vote to one of the smaller parties like the Heritage Party, who won't be standing in my area anyway, or UKIP, of which I was asked to stand as their leader or put in to become their leader this year, and they won't be standing in my area either. So where do I go? I'd rather be genuine with my vote and say, look, I don't believe in any of you. But there are no options. So for people like me, where would I go? Where would you advise me to go?
Charlie.
Would you not stand yourself?
Can I get in here for a second?
Grantonio first, then Adrian, then Patty. I think you've got a people want to ask you questions, Jarrett. Grantonio, you first.
I think there's something good in a spoilt ballot. I think they call it a donkey vote. It's my understanding a couple of weeks ago, didn't Nikki Haley lose to a candidate called None of the Above?
I don't know about that one.
Yes.
But spoiling the ballot is essentially the same as not voting, isn't it?
Not necessarily, because you're registering your dissatisfaction.
No, you're not.
Rather than making it clear that you're...
Well, I'll chime in here. I've stood in elections before, and people at the count don't care. They look at those, they put them in one site to one side of the count. And when everything's counted up for each particular candidate, they then confirm that X, Y, and Z ballots have been spoiled. No one cares. No one reads the messages on them. No one pays attention to the stupid drawings that people do and the swear words that people write. They just get thrown in the bin.
And I, as someone who stood in several elections, I can confirm that, Charlie, to be the case. You know, there's a misapprehension out there that people think, oh, if enough of us spoiled our ballots, then that will send a message. But actually, it doesn't work like that. Charlie, I'm with you on that one. Adrian, did you want to come in on this one? And then, Paddy, I'll come to you.
Yeah.
Adrian,
Charlie, I know you're disenfranchised with the options you have, but would you not maybe consider yourself maybe standing as an independent or seeing if there's somebody in the local area that you could maybe convince to stand as an independent that people could then get behind instead?
I think it's a bit too late in the day for me to start campaigning to become an MP now, as I think it could be any day that they'll call it. I mean, I agree with David that I think it will be more towards the tail end of the year that they do it. But if there was an independent candidate standing here, which there normally is, I would vote for them. But as far as political parties go, I think we're quite knackered.
Yeah, see, I want to destroy all the political parties, all of them. Well, the major ones, the uni party. Oh, hang on a second. Paddy, do you want to come in this one? Because I see you making a comment. Paddy?
Yeah. First thing I want to say is, Charlie, I don't know what mic you're using, but it's 10 by 10, dude, man. You're crystal clear and blaring loud, dude. God, great microphone. But you got to turn around. Number one, if you don't vote, you don't have the right to comment on anything. I'm sorry, you're not participating. You ain't got a word to say about it. Shut the hell up. You know, you at least vote. Write your own damn name in if you don't like who's running. And the other thing is there it can be positive. Well, not positive. It can make a difference. Look at all those uncommitted votes that actually swayed Biden thing. Now, mind you, all those uncommitted votes are pro-Hamas and terrorist votes, but they actually changed the voting block in Michigan and everything else. They voted uncommitted. They just voted blank. But so it can make a difference, but it takes more than just a couple, like it was a couple hundred thousand in Michigan. It does make a difference, but you have to vote. If you don't vote, you don't have the right to say anything, because, you know, if you can't even bother to bring yourself out to go cast a vote, then I don't care what you have to say.
That's a fair point, but I do disagree with you, because if the political parties don't represent me and won't take care of any of the values that I hold, then why do they deserve it? You know, we've got, if I vote for the Conservatives, you've got transgender madness, pro-Ukraine, pro-Israel. If you vote for Labour, you've got the same thing. If you vote for the Reform Party, you've got the same thing. I don't believe in any of those things. I don't want transgenderism. I don't want pro-war candidates in my parliament. I want a Britain-focused parliament. That's all I want. And you don't
write your own name in, because then at least you're participating. You're part of the participate. See, the problem is, I don't know what the percentage is over on that side of the pond. But on this side of the pond, we only have 30% of the American population that actually actually bothers to vote. And if we got that up to 70%, our whole nation would change.
I agree with your sentiment. I really do. And I actually feel quite disappointed that I'm saying that I won't vote, because I do believe in it. However, the system is pretty much rigged. It's going to go Labour, whether I vote or not.
I was just going to say that, Charlie. Isn't that all we can hope for now? Labour are going to get in, and they will be woke Tories times 10, and they will destroy themselves. And through smashing Tories in the next general election, the Tories will also be destroyed. That's all we can hope for now. Both of them are wiped.
I agree with that. The wipeout, I would like to see that myself. However, who would replace them? Because the Conservatives will pretend to change. They won't change, but they will pretend to. So after the next 10 years, which is what I predict Labour will be in power for, the next decade. Who will take over? The beacon of hope that is Nigel Farage, which I say quite sarcastically because I do like Nigel Farage, but I think that his moment has been and gone. Who replaces that that talisman? Who's the figurehead of the right wing after that point? We have to wait and see. So I'm not optimistic that we will have a better future. I just think it's going to take a while to realise it if it ever comes.
But if you don't vote in a different way and you don't vote at all, as I agree with Paddy, then don't complain about the system that you get. If you're not willing to participate, then you say, well, there's nobody I can vote for. And therefore, you've got to go to show your disdain. If you wanted the Tories to win because they were Tories, because they were conservative, and they are no longer, then you've got to put your vote somewhere else that's not Labour. You've got to put it somewhere else and say, look, I would have voted for you Tories, but you're not conservative anymore. I want you destroyed. And therefore, yes, for example, Reform will not get in. I know what they've done certainly over the past few weeks. They will not get in, but it will take even more votes away from the Tories and destroy them even further. Yes, Labour will be in. I'm not sure they'll be in for a decade, but Labour will be in. But I want to destroy the Tories and I want to show my disdain for them. And I can't show my disdain by not voting or destroying my ballot. I have to vote in a different way to say, you're no longer a Conservative. And I appreciate Reform are not Conservative. But they are, out of all of them, probably, and don't take this too literally, they're slightly better than the status quo that we've got now, which is the Uniparty. At least I can show the Uniparty my disdain by going two fingers to the Tory. You could have had my vote, but you're no longer Conservative. If I throw my ballot away,
can I come back to you on the point that, sorry, David, I want to ask one more question if that's okay with you.
Okay, go ahead.
Yep. When you voted at the last general election, who did you vote for?
If that was directed at me, I voted the last one, Tory.
Did you get what you voted for?
No, I didn't.
There we go.
But I'm not going to get what I voted for, even if I vote no. But what I can do is say, Tories, look, I have voted for you in the past and you haven't done what I want you to do. So I've given my vote to somebody else, somebody that I don't like either. But I don't like them not as much. Sorry, I like you worse than I like the other ones I've just voted for. You see what I'm saying? So I'm taking votes away from them, but showing my disdain by giving it to somebody else, even I don't like, but I'm still not giving it to them.
Yeah, sorry, I just want to come in on this one here. And by the way, we've gone to 9 o'clock and we do need a few more pod beans in the till. Otherwise, this is coming to an end very, very quickly. But just to say that I personally, Charlie, the point about it is that this, our friend in America, our good friend City Troll says, you know, if you don't participate in the democratic process, I'm sorry, there's nothing you can do about it. So let me be clear. I don't want to participate in the democratic process because it's a complete and absolute con, in my view. You know, you're being given, in the UK anyway, maybe different in the States, you've got a system designed to enable you to vote red end of the uni party, blue end of the uni party. I don't want any of that. I don't trust any of them. I despise them all. I probably am the most radical on this call, I suppose. But you know, I don't, Charlie, I totally understand your point of view. Why would you vote for people who will betray you? Reform will betray you. Labour will absolutely betray you. And the Tories disgustingly have betrayed us. But can I ask, does anyone doubt that the Tories are going to record probably their biggest ever, the most historical defeat they've ever had? And does anyone else take satisfaction from that? Because I sure as hell will. Over to you lot. Charlie, go first.
I will certainly take satisfaction from it because even when I was working for the Conservative Party, they betrayed me. And they betrayed me with the COVID stuff, with the vaccine passports and the attempt to bring in that as well as the mandates. And, you know, I was a local chairman for them where I live. And I quit in protest on the BBC to make a point at how I wasn't going to stand for their party anymore and I wasn't going to play their game. So for me, I will forever hold a grudge against the Conservative Party, at least with the MPs that are there now. If you cleaned them all out and you got a whole new breed in who actually knew what they were doing, I might change my mind in the future. But currently, with this crop in now, there's absolutely no chance. And I hope they do get wiped out, but they'll be replaced by even bigger COVID tyrants like the Labour Party.
See, that's the problem. The only Tory I like is Andrea Jenkins, Charlie. I like Andrea. I think she's pretty principled and decent and whatnot. But that's not enough reason to vote for the Tories. So they're going to get destroyed. Gaur Ram says here, Sunak, I like to do my George Galloway, Sunak, Hunt, Cameron. That's it. That we have to clean out the Aegean stable. Adrian, you want to come in?
Yeah, I think the problem with our politicians are their allegiances, and loyalties lie to groups like the World Economic Forum and not to the British people. And that's our main issue. And until we start to demand more, nothing's going to change.
Yeah, Grantonio, you want to come in?
Yeah, no, I agree with Adrian. I just wonder if this whole notion of voting for change is actually just quite a romantic idea. And you think about what's happening in Scotland. Who's the one with the power there? Is it Youssef or J.K. Rowling? I think it's J.K. Rowling. I think political power isn't coming through the ballot box. I think it will be charismatic people, maybe from the media, that we have to look out for in terms of change. I mean, look at the UKIP. What happened there? They forced Cameron into a corner, if I recall. They were going to steal seats from him, so he then called the referendum, didn't he? Because he was worried about UKIP stealing seats from them. And that's the sort of strategy that we need to play now if we're going to think about power. It's not necessarily through which party gets the most votes. There's other things at play, like influence.
Interesting. Paddy, do you want to come back in this one here? Because it's a really interesting topic.
Yeah, it's, you know, the whole thing is, it's like, you know, like somebody said, somebody in the media. Who the hell in the media is going to speak up for
Trump came from the media. Moral causes. Paddy, Trump came from the media.
Yeah, okay. Trump was involved in it. Trump's a unique case. And he right now is the hope for America. And what we have, and like I said, if he loses this election, yeah, be prepared for, number one, we're going to have a world war. Number two, you're going to have a civil war in the United States. And the excuse the expression, I hate to curse on this, but the shit is going to hit the fan.
Paddy, you say that every week. You say there's going to be a civil war in the U.S. every week. Look,
at least I'm consistent.
Yeah. I know you are, but your 700 million guns and your Burr arms, yeah, just means you get cold in the winter. Now, the point here is the two people we're talking about is a billionaire female and a billionaire male.
And the billionaires can find it out, and they live in their own
Are going to stand above the parapet? How many more billionaires are going to stand there and defend what is right and what is
true? You've got Musk supporting freedom of speech.
God bless Elon Musk.
There's people on this. Stop, guys. I'm on my high horse now. So listen, we've even got people that speak on this stream regular every Thursday that say, "Oh, look at Musk. He's a Judas court. Look what he's doing. Look how how people's accounts are being limited and all this, and it's still going on now where people are being throttled and people call him a Judas court. So come on, who can we go for that we don't, as a Puritan, because that's what we are on the right, we're Puritans, that we can't say, oh, well, look at J.K. Rowling. She supports Ukraine, but she's great on transgenderism. Oh, look at Musk. He's great because he gives us a platform, but he doesn't let us speak properly. Where does this end?
Yeah? Jed, hang on, Jed. That's a bloody good point. Charlie, do you want to try and address that point that Jed's made? Because I wrestle, Jed and I don't agree in this one, sort of, but I do take his point. You know, I tend to be very Puritan. And so I get very pissed off about the fact that, oh, Elon Musk, he's a savior. God bless him. Well, he throttles my account, as Jed can testify, to the nth degree, or maybe not him, but the platform he owns does. And the media, and you know, what do you say, Charlie, to the points that were made by Jed there? Because they're good points.
I think the question marks around whether or not Elon Musk is genuine or not. I feel like he probably has good intentions, but he's a bit of a strange billionaire in the sense that I don't think he actually cares about money. And I don't know if you guys would agree with me on that one, but I just really don't think he's that motivated by money, but more the objectives that he sets out. So, you know, the free speech element that he brings to this platform, I think are noble ones. Whether or not they'll succeed to the nth degree that you'd like, David, I know we've spoken in the past about you having your account throttle a lot. I don't know. I mean, it's, I think Twitter and or X, I still can't call it X really, is the best thing that we've got online for free speech. But of course, as with everything good, there are going to be things that people don't like, and there are going to be flaws, and hopefully you can work them out. But I guess to the other question about when will we get more billionaires, it depends on how they make their money. You know, Trump's an interesting character because he has made his money and he doesn't seem to care about making much more of it. I mean, I know he's selling a £60 Bible the other day, but the wider point is, I think that once people have got a moral backbone where they go, look, I've made money, I don't care anymore. It's like going back to J.K. Rowling. You know, if she was trying to sell Harry Potter still, would she be so outspoken? Hell no. But she isn't. She's rich, so now she can be. But the problem is the machine is bigger than, collectively, the machine is bigger than billionaire individuals.
Well, I don't know, Charlie, is bigger, because I think J.K. Rowling has called their bluff in Scotland a couple of days ago. Just to reiterate this point about people coming from the media and that being influential, we have a whole political movement in Scotland, the Scottish National Party, built solely on the fact that Mel Gibson made an awful film in the mid-90s. And I'm not being ironic about that. That's when the Scottish National Party started rising in prominence. So I'm just making this point about the media and, I don't know, Hollywood to what degree, but X or Twitter or whatever it's called can have a difference, far more than anything that Rishi Sunak can say. George Galloway, with his YouTube channel or whatever platform he uses, that's got far more reach than Rishi Sunak standing outside 10 down.
I disagree on that one. I mean, purely because if Rishi Sunak makes a speech on the steps of Downing Street, it will be on every paper and every news channel, whereas George Galloway won't be.
But and I'm, what I meant, not reach. Yes, literally, Rishi Sunak will have more reach because of the media. I mean, in terms of influence, somebody like Galloway has charisma and people will follow him and vote for him.
I agree with you on that one. I actually quite like George Galloway.
I do as well. I don't agree with a lot that he says, but I just wish every politician could speak with the same level of sort of passion as...
Well, we used to say that about Farage as well, didn't we? Now, Farage has obviously got the media bug, and good on him. He actually got us the vote, but unfortunately then we had a parliament that never wanted that, and that's history now. We know the tale of that, and we know that we'll never get a true Brexit. But even Farage now, he's got his media career. He's now earning, I would imagine, decent money. Yeah, I'm not saying he's short of a penny, but people who are rich like to be richer. And therefore, I've got a feeling, yes, he will push back to some degree, but I don't think, I agree with Charlie, as he said earlier, he won't come back to being a political figure, so to speak, although he might influence other people. But media reach, these influencers, I think in 10 or 20 years' time, will be the people will be voting for, and not MPs.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I mean, the other issue here is, and Charlie, you can speak to this point, I mean, the media in general is part of the problem. The media wants to give us binary choices all the time. That's what their game is. And so anything that's a wee bit different or a bit more nuanced it doesn't get a chance on the mainstream media, you know, the likes of the BBC, Sky, Channel 4, all of that, ITV, LBC. You know, it's very difficult. And Charlie, one of my problems with even the newer forms of media like Talk TV and GB News is that it seems very controlled as well, as Lawrence Fox and Calvin Robinson and Dan Wooten and probably in due course our friend Neil Oliver can testify. So the media is a really big problem in us getting changed too, isn't it?
Do you think it's the media or do you think it's Ofcom?
Ofcom.
So yeah. If you take that away, then you really would have freedom of the press. The problem with GB News, from my perspective, and I've written an article about this, about Dan, Calvin and Lawrence, is that they branded themselves as the home of free speech and then sacked people for speaking freely. And that takes away all credibility for me. Talk TV, I regularly appear on Talk TV. However, a lot of that is, I mean, let's put it this way. Everything that comes out of that station has a 14-second delay, so they can dump things that they don't like being said. I've had quite a few things dumped off of a live broadcast because they haven't quite liked what I've said. So there is an element of control there. Oh, and I'll tell you what it is, because I know you're not going to dump me, David. They gave me the final word on a show, and I said that transgenderism should be made illegal. And they said, cut, we ain't putting that out. You know, the producer came in and said, what the hell was that? And I said, you gave me the last word. Like that was my last word. So yeah. there is an element of fear in the media. And I think that, you know, Nigel's influence at GB News trying to push out conservative messaging, people like Nigel, so they'll probably vote how he tells them to vote. But my thesis on Nigel is what somebody else said. I forgot who said it, but he's earning a pretty penny at GB News, and he really is. Plus, when you look back at the history of UKIP, they got 4.1 million votes in one election and got one MP, whereas the SNP, who was also mentioned, got far less, and they got about 27, I think, if memory serves me correctly. So, again, the system is rigged, like David said. And why would he want to step back into the front line for all that effort for one MP?
That's it. You know, although it's strange, earlier on today, this afternoon, I was in a nearby town that I don't often be in, a place called Banbridge, some of you might know. And I was walking down the main street with my wife, and I suddenly had one of those moments of deja vu, because I can remember back in, I think it was 1997 or 98, round about then, campaigning in, I think it was the European elections, with my colleague at that point, Robert McCartney, QC MP. And there was a young guy had come over, a youngest chap had come over from England to campaign with us. And his name was Nigel Farage. So I first met Nigel back in the mid to late 90s, I remember. And he was quite the character then as well, I have to say. But I agree, Charlie, he's got his niche. The only thing that could supercharge British politics, and it won't happen, would be if Nigel came back in, assumed the role of leader, and they got an influx from the Tories of the few residual Conservatives they've got. That might supercharge, and that's not going to happen. And it's heartbreaking, because I suspect there's people here like Jed. You would love that, Jed, wouldn't you, if Nigel did become leader?
No, I would. But again, we within every party that we've got, there are... Reform do need to get rid of some people. It really does. And one
Tice
of them, I agree
start.
With you, is right, yeah, he's Tice. And Farage would be the perfect replacement. Or BD or whatever he's called, the deputy leader. Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, that's him.
Okay. But there is some people in that party that still would need to be flushed out. There are dozens or hundreds in the Tory party that need to be flushed out. And the entire Labour Party and the entire SNP and the entire Greens need to be flushed out. And the Lib Dems as well need to be flushed out. But the point is, I don't think Farage is going to come back. I would love him to. I'd love him to take charge at the right time of reform to give us an alternate vote. But I'm not going to get that. So what I can do, and I've said it and I'll say it until I'm blue in the face, if you don't vote, the Tories will get 20% of the vote, Labour will get 80% of the vote. We'll have a Labour government no matter what you do. But what you can do is vote for somebody else to take another 10% away from the Tories, leaving them with only 10% of the vote and saying, up yours.
Except I think, again, I'll ask your views on this one. I think the problem is going to be that I don't think Labour's actually increasing their vote particularly, not that much. I think the problem is the whole Conservative vote is either so pissed off that they won't turn out on they probably won't turn out in the day. Our enemy is indifference. They have no reason to vote Conservative, but they're tribal and not enough of them are going to vote for reform realistically, for reform to get any seats. So again, I think the system itself, you know, it's we've got a system that's broken. Paddy, you've got one in the States that's broken as well. Your system in some ways is, well, maybe even worse than ours. But, you know, yeah, I know you're talking about term limits and all of that. But I feel we're in for 10 years of hard labour.
You're screwed. You're screwed, man.
But so are you. So are you.
It's like both sides of the pond are so messed up right now politically. We need to remove everyone that has ever held office for more than 12 years. I'm sorry. I don't care if it was on as dog catcher. If you held elected office and you've served the county, state, or country for 12 years, you're done. Get out. Go away. You've done your bit. Thanks for your service. Get the hell out. This is ridiculous. We got these people who have been in there forever. Like, you've got a permanent political class, and we've developed one too. And we need to get rid of them all.
But, well, actually, and we'll probably wrap up on this last point, but this brings up, Paddy, you just made a really interesting point. Jed's often talked to me about the fact that, you know, we all talk about the deep state, the other. The civil service is essentially the deep state. And I saw stuff today in the press whereby I think it's the civil servants within the Foreign Office, the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, are basically saying they're going to down tools if the British government doesn't stop supplying weapons to Israel. Now, I don't want to get involved in the Israel-Gaza stuff. You know, frankly, I'm not that bothered. I'm more concerned about Britain. But it's the fact that the civil servants are the people who really call the shots. And the civil service in the UK is very left-wing, and it's been like that forever. And it is, how do you change? You can change the political parties to your blue in the face. The civil service stays the same. It's the same now as it was when Thatcher. What do you do about that? What's the solution? The unelected
civil service is how they're always referred to. I'm beginning to think that that's their official title. Backtracking on a few things, going back a bit about what you were saying, Labour winning by default. You know, I think there's a quote from Thatcher, and you can correct me on this, David. Did she not say that parties don't win elections, they lose them? Do you remember that? Was that Thatcher? Mm. Or it might have been Churchill. But the other thing is, I kind of want to backtrack for the second time this evening on something. I'm not that down on Braveheart, actually. I actually think it's quite a good movie. So just wanted to clear that up, you know, just in case anybody came.
Okay, I'll inform Mel Gibson that everything's good with
that. I'll get you a script. So you can keep...
How do we get rid of a civil service which is institutionally leftist?
Sack them. Sack them all. No, we can. We can pay them off. It will be cheaper if we sack every single civil servant that we've got and we pay them off. It will cost the country less than the cancer that they are eating away at every single government that we ever vote for, eating away every single decision that's ever made. The reason we didn't get Brexit is partly because of spineless politicians, but in the main, it's because of the civil service.
Why do you hold back? Why don't you tell us what you actually feel?
But this is it. I like sitting on the fence because I mean, I've got a couple of splinters. But the point is, I've worked with civil servants and they are cancer. They are a cancer sucking this country dry. And the sooner we get rid of them and pay them off and pay that debt, I don't care what the debt is, it's worth paying because they are that.
Do you remember when they accused Priti Patel of bullying? Do you remember that?
If they think that's bullying, they ain't seen nothing yet.
No, they all need to be taken out of office for sure. But I, and Jed, you might be right. It might mean that a government would have to break every law, but then they can't break the law. And, you know, I mean, that was actually another point. I didn't get to this topic, but I might throw it in at the end. Did any of you see the fact that the sentencing board here in the UK, which advises judges on, you know, on mitigations when they're deciding how much time to sentence people for, the sentencing board came out I think yesterday whatever and said that look, we need to take into consideration issues like is the alleged criminal about to be sentenced, did he come from a deprived background, did he suffer discrimination, maybe he's from a protected characteristic,
and people don't think we live in a left wing country.
Exactly. And the judiciary's captured as well, Grantonio. That's one of the big points. Every single institution, Charlie, every institution we have has been captured. That's the enormity of the problem we face. And I think we have to face into that. And when I saw this about the sentencing panel suggesting this, it's just horrific. Charlie.
I agree with you completely. I mean, I have a rule of thumb of the types of people to really truly engage with. And when you see emails with a signature and a pronoun, he, him, when the person's name is George, that to me is where we're at, and that's why it's going to get worse. So the people coming out of universities now, if you gave them the vote, say when they was a little bit younger, say they was at college, right? 16-year-olds, which is what Labour will introduce when they win power, you'll have leftism in perpetuity after that point. So you're going to have, imagine this for a second, you're going to be sentenced by a judge with green hair and a ball ring through their nose and tattoos up their arm with six kids by six different dads. Welcome to Britain.
Yeah, Adrian, I'm sure, who can disagree with Charlie?
I'm laughing to myself there at that. Pardon me, it's an absolutely horrifying thought, though. You know, and they have been strategic. They went for the institutions. It was infiltration, not invasion. You know, and Jed has mentioned the slow creep, and we're now seeing them reap the benefits of it because of the havoc that it's causing to our young kids. They don't know whether they're boys or girls or what their pronouns are, and they get upset if people misgender them. We're in for a hell of a rough time to try and sort this mess out, because this is going to last for generations.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right, and I suppose, you know, the reality is that once you realize what the problem is, though, you can start to find ways to potentially fix it. We have to take long-term views. There's no short-term fix for any of this. But, you know, there is a resistance to all of this, and it's us. We are the resistance, and we may be small in number, but we were small in number back in 2020 when the COVID scamdemic came in, and we held our principle to our principles, and all these years later, we were proven to be right. So I think, you know, the first thing to is be clear on your position and hold to it. Now, a few things just to finish off on. John Saunderson asks, any news on the next live show? David, this is the live shows we've been putting on. We've done a few in London. John, we do have a couple of people lined up for that, and we're just trying to firm up on venue and date. And just once we've got that sorted out, we'll put out a whole thing in that. Hopefully we should get that done very, very soon. But it's going to be a good one. As you know, we've previously had Andrew Bridgen, Carl Benjamin, we've had Lawrence Fox, we've had Father Calvin Robinson. Just wait till you see the next couple of individuals. Charlie, you'll be very welcome, anyone, and you are indeed a good friend. And, you know, and that's what we need, folks. We need this kind of unity. We do this every week, and I always come away from this always buzzing, because I always think, what a bloody great group of people that come along here. And it's my pleasure just to be able to facilitate this for you guys.
Just to interrupt quickly, David, congratulations on the good news at the weekend.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm enjoying being a granddad. And actually, I should become a granddad again for the fourth time in another probably 6 weeks.
Bloody hell, tie a knot in it. For God's sake, man. How many vampires are we going to get?
Jeff,
yeah, but your family.
Jeff. No. Exactly. We need more of the Vance genes spread out, man. We need more of this line of personality passed along.
Yeah, believe you me, the Vance extended family understand the need of replacing the gene pool. with our demographics plummeting, Paddy, you're absolutely right. We do need more. So look, guys, I want to thank you all so much for coming along tonight. A big thank you in particular to Charlie for phoning in. I hope you'll phone in again, Charlie. We do have, it's a fun night. I just enjoy it, and I love the comments that come in here in the Podbean studio and obviously elsewhere as well in the other streams. As I say, it's the hour and a half passes very, very quickly, but it's been a real pleasure. So look, folks, look out tomorrow night for Gregory Paul Martin, son of the late Sir George Martin, and myself talking through matters astrological. So if you think that's... And then Monday night, it's 9/11. So there you go. And then, Paddy, the week after that, it's going to be moon landings for you.
I want to be on both shows. I want to be a call. I want to be able to go live on both shows.
You're going to be blocked. We can't have tinfoil hat people like you coming on and think we actually went. We can't have that. Anyway, look, guys, thanks so much for your time. Thanks, Charlie. Thanks, Paddy. Thanks, Jed, Grantonio, Adrian, everybody who's been listening in. Appreciate it. And catch you all real soon. That's it from me for tonight. Good night.